to the Small Business Podcast with David Michaels and Daniel Miller. This week, we're going to be doing a status update of our businesses. Things we've learned so far and things are neat little items that are going on in our businesses. And David has a neat concept to talk about. So, before we get into that, David, how are you doing?
Very good. It's been a busy but good week. How about you?
I'm doing really good. I had a really good week so far. It's
fantastic.
Been exactly fun. It's been very rewarding, and I'm really looking forward to the weekend. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, upcoming weekend is Valentine's Day weekend.
I don't know why.
I'm telling anybody that, because you're posted a little bit with a delay, so they won't hear this until it's too late. Well, hopefully you didn't forget Valentine's Day, and if you did, here's a good episode to listen to.
Right, because we're totally going to be giving tips for that's what we could do. We could do an episode for tips for entrepreneurs who are in romantic relationships and how to make your man or woman, depending on which way you swing and all that. And you know, females are the largest growing demographic for small business anyway, owners, right? So anyhow, we can give them tips.
I'm always suspicious of those statistics.
Well, as we should be with any statistic on anything. But as I was saying, we could do an episode of how to make your significant other feel special and number one in your life, even if your business takes all your time and energy. You need to let your loved one know that really they're what's most important, and it's you're doing it because of them, and you want to make a better life for the two of you and all that stuff.
I wouldn't say that. I would just say that it's rewarding to you. And in a relationship, you have to both be doing individual things, so that way when you guys get together and talk, you have something to bring to the table.
That too.
Because if you don't have anything to bring to the table and you're just doing what everybody else is doing, then you'll be a pretty boring person.
Yes, I've met some of those kinds of people.
Yeah, and so that happens. So what you need to be doing is something on your own. Now, the other point of it, is, this is where it becomes dicey for some entrepreneurs, is that they become too focused on it, and they don't have a strong relationship with the individual that they are in a relationship with. And so when that comes push to shove, they do cause problems.
Right, right. Absolutely. So
you need to be able to find someone who you think is strong enough, and you are looking for a type of potential mate. That would be the way to go.
Or date another entrepreneur.
I don't know if that's going to be the best thing to do.
Why is that, Daniel?
Entrepreneurship needs to have a support group, and you want to have someone who is able to do that. Two entrepreneurs, I think, is a little bit dicey. I mean, you meet people who are entrepreneurs, and it's great, but at the same time, if anybody knows what it takes to be an entrepreneur, I don't know if two entrepreneurs can roll too well. Because you'll be having one entrepreneur says, I have an idea, let's work on this. And then the other one doesn't ever spend any time. And then by the time you ever spend any time together, you've grown old.
But if you guys are doing different businesses, and maybe what if you had complementary businesses, like where you referred customers to each other, or like say, here's a real life example. Somebody I knew, they kept it all in the family where one guy owned a dental office, and then when he needed to send his clients to go get like x-rays or some kind of outwork done, he would send them to his son's office who did that work. So that they kept all the money in the family. So you could do that with your business. For example, I could have all my customers go buy your tire paint, and when they buy your tire paint, they get a coupon to get discount on my entertainment products.
So you're looking at like a 1-to-1 ratio, basically.
I don't know. I'm just thinking it can work.
Oh,
anybody
you feed
can
it
do
into the other person. That's what it basically comes down to. You say, hey, look, here you go. I'm going to feed this into you. And the other person does it. But that's basically any product. I mean, you look at Apple's new iPad. They basically are saying, hey, we'll give this away, but then we're going to get you with what we like to call Apple Market.
So, yes. What we were originally going to talk about this episode.
What we're going to talk about is a status update of what was going on.
Yeah.
With our different businesses. David, you have a new product coming out, and I'm working on making my products work. So let's talk about your product. You were telling us before about your product, and you're developing a very, very, very cool product where you're creating an RPG game.
Yep.
And you're getting closer to releasing it because you did so much work. But first, what is the website address so we can go ahead and get it to that?
All right, get ready. Drum roll, please. Superpowersunlimited.com.
You need to do it the Yahoo way. .com.
Yeah, so can you give it a nice echo effect when I said Superpowers Unlimited? That would be awesome. So anyway, yeah, Superpowersunlimited.com is the name of the role-playing game and the website. Amazing how that works. Easy to remember. This is for our regular listeners. You may have recalled several episodes again. You know, I've been talking. It's something I've been working on for many months now. Built a tabletop role-playing game from scratch, and we've been building it and testing it and debugging it and improving on it. We were hoping to get it launched in time for the holiday sales. Remember, Daniel, and you wanted me to sell ads, buy ads on Facebook and stuff like that?
That's correct.
But I said that we wanted to, but we just weren't there yet. The product wasn't ready. It did need much more work that I've done since then. But now I am happy to say I have an amazing system together. I'm really proud of how much it's grown. I mean, I know I'm patting my own back here a lot, but a lot of time and work has gone into this. And a lot of other people have contributed, too. We've got a lot of beta testers and some other game designers who played the game, and they gave their 2 cents. And it's just I really love how this thing has evolved and grown and been perfected. And the last few game sessions where we've been beta testing, we haven't had any problems or bugs or holes that need to be patched. So I'm like, yes, the rule system is holding. It's working. We have players who purposely try to stress test it and exploit weaknesses and break the system. And they weren't able to do it. I'm so happy. They've been doing it since day one, and now they're finally stumped. So, this spring, by the end of the school semester, I think, so definitely within the next few months, the finished product will be ready for sale to the world, because it's selling through a website, so any English-speaking country can buy this product and use it. And the exciting thing is, you know, when I started this, I had no idea it was going to come to this. I had played Dungeons & Dragons with a couple friends and felt the system was way too complex for a beginner, for someone who's never done a role-playing game before, because that was my first experience doing something like that. And as I'm sure I mentioned on a previous episode, I just wanted to create a better, more flexible, customizable system that was easier for beginners to get into as well, but still keep it fun and interesting for the experienced advanced players.
Sort of like the Wii Peep. I said it's easy to get into, but once you're in, you can always finesse it up.
Exactly. So there's a whole audience, a huge group of people that can enjoy this game. And I just built it for fun. We got some people playing. They loved it, so it kept growing, and I kept working on it. And then now I've got a computer programmer who's working with me developing a character creator application. Because right now we're using a spreadsheet to keep track of your character stats and points and all that other stuff. And now we're working on a really just beautiful application. You run it. It keeps track of everything for you. It does everything the spreadsheet did and more. And it's pretty because you can put your picture on it and all this other stuff. And we got that going together, and he's just been really generous programming that for me and, you know, willing to do it free of charge just because he loves the game so much. He wants to make it more accessible to more people, and he knows this character creation file, this application, will make it more accessible to more people. And so he's been working on that. We're not quite finished with it yet, but we made a lot of progress on that. I'm almost done taking care of balancing the rules and patching the holes and just putting the finishing touches on the actual game system itself. And then the same computer programmer/game designer that's working on the character creator app is having so much fun with this game. We were joking around one day. We were having lunch and stuff, and because, you know, I'm don't have enough money to pay him for the work, so I'm paying him with, like, lunch. So we'll start one morning. I'll buy him a smoothie, and we'll take a break around lunchtime. I'll take him to Applebee's or something and, you know, cover his meal. So he's having fun working on something he believes in, and I'm paying him with food. So it works for both of us right now. And one day we were sitting at lunch talking, and we're like, yeah, and wouldn't it be cool if there was, like, a video game version of this?
Right.
And we started talking about how we love, like, the old classic side-scrolling platformer 2D games like Super Mario Brothers or Mega Man or Sonic the Hedgehog. And we're like, we could totally build this game into a system like that. So I'm thinking, yeah, that'd be great. When we'll finish this, and down the road, you know, when my company's making enough profit to hire you on salary, we can start doing that. But him, under his own voluntary initiative, in his spare free time, starts working on the animation engine for it, to where, like, characters can, you know, run and jump and bounce off walls and hang off cliffs and all kinds of stuff. And he's working out the system where, because one of the neat things about this game is you can invent any superpower you want and build it into the system and be able to use it in the game. In his own spare time for fun, he has started building the engine behind the 2D platformer version of the video game. And we started working out stuff, and it's like, oh, and then we'll have this. And he's working on a tutorial for it. And I don't want to spoil any surprises, but he's got a lot of awesome, brilliant ideas he's been adding into this game that it's just amazing. I can't wait till when that's released. And we're talking about when it's finished, we'll release it, sell it online. In fact, we can even, there's websites, he tells me, where you can give it away for free on certain websites that do that for independent game publishers.
Right.
And they make money from selling ad space. And since some of that revenue is coming from people who were looking for your game, they share some of the ad revenue with you. So we can give away a game for free and still make money on it, hosted on someone else's site. So it's using their bandwidth and their servers and all the other stuff. We create the game, release it through their site, and make money giving it away. So I love it. And those are some of the exciting developments at 2Deck Entertainment.
I love it.
Oh, and then the actual tabletop RPG thing that'll be coming out first, I've got two versions of it. Because I feel that if you play it, you'll get hooked. You'll love it. You'll see how much fun the system is. And some people may not have played a tabletop role-playing game before, and they don't know if they're going to like it or not, or if even how it works. So I have a basic version and a pro version of the game. It's the exact same game, except the basic version gives you less. It doesn't have all the advanced rules. It doesn't have all the skills or character defects or example powers that you can be able to use. But it has enough to get you going into the system and really enjoy and see what the game is all about. That I'll give away for free on my website. And when you get hooked in the game and you want all the extras, including bonus materials like ready-to-play character files and tips and secrets from the game creator, how to build, you know, the ideal character for you and combine certain skills and powers in unique ways to get the most out of your character. Starter campaigns, so the game master, the one who's running the story, doesn't have to think up everything on their own. They can have a starting story already set up for them. They can just build off of additional skills to choose from as you're customizing your character, all that kind of stuff. If they want to go for that, then I'm going to test my price point around $15 to $20 to get everything, including updates for the 1.0 version.
Okay, well, let's take this from a small business point of view then.
Okay.
So you just said right there your price point. Let's talk about it from the get-go.
Okay.
So what your plan is you're aiming to sell the product online.
Yes.
So you immediately get the global market.
Yep.
So that's your first thing. Then the next thing is that you need to figure out how many units are you expecting to sell. Or what's your goal with that?
As many as possible.
Okay. Well, so let's walk through this. Your target demographic is people who are going to college, have a little bit of free time.
Yeah.
18 to 30-year-old.
No, even high school age would get into this. So
14 to 28-year-olds, maybe older. So yeah, let's say 28 to 40.
Yeah, that's well. Yeah, I could see people up into their 40s playing this game. That's not unheard of, people playing role-playing games at that age or older. Youngest, I would put, mid-teens, maybe around 15 or so.
Okay, so you have that group already iced out. Then you said your price point. Did you talk about how you picked out your price point of $20? Is there any reasoning behind that or why you came up with that number?
Yeah, it's a little bit of gut intuition and a little bit of research and comparing against competition. Traditionally, if you were making a tabletop role-playing game, you made money selling books. Beautifully illustrated, glossy, high-quality, full-color, hardcover books that explain all the rules and give you all the options. If you want to have a magic user, here's all the spells they can use. If you want to have a fighter, here's all the weapons they can use. If you want to have a healer, here's all the things they can do. And then they have a list of all the monsters you can fight and all the worlds you can go through. And they just keep coming out with books, expanding on this imaginary world. And you drop down lots of money because it's high-quality books and there's a lot of imagination and work that went into them.
No joke. I think what is the normal – well, let's do this. What's the normal price of an RPG book?
You don't be surprised to spend $40 or more.
Okay. Well – go ahead and talk to us about what goes into developing an RPG game. I mean, who do you think is going to be ultimately – how do you want to get people into this game? What is your plan for that?
Well, and I forgot to mention that part about how things just grow and develop when you just go for it. I met a marketing student who turns out – was a friend of mine. Turns out she's in marketing. And she beta tested the game a couple sessions. She enjoyed it. She wants to market this thing just for the experience, just to put something on her resume. So I even told her, it's like, I've got an affiliate program set up so you can market this thing online and get 20% of the sales, so you're getting paid for this too. And it's like, or if you want, you can just do the internship thing, but I'm more than happy to pay you for it. Paying for results. See, we talked about affiliate programs before. And she's like, wow, you've really thought all this through. And I'm like, sure. But
I told her you haven't been listening to the Small Business Podcast with Daniel Miller and David Michaels, have you?
Apparently. So she just wants the experience to put on her resume. And I'm like, hey, that's great. I'm more than happy to work with her because she's done other internships in marketing-related positions at other companies. And it's mostly like, go get the coffee.
Oh, that sucks.
Go make copies of this. Go fax that memo. Something like that. And it's just – a lot of internships are like that. And I'm happy to say she was very excited when I told her that she would not be getting me coffee. I don't even drink coffee, for the record. And that I would empower her to market this thing however she best sees fit. Now, obviously, she's going to run it by me first, but
to build up that kind of you are on the right track sort of thing. But yeah,
yeah. But like, marketing is not my thing. I've done it. I'm good at it, but I just don't enjoy it. I'd rather be focusing on creating the content and building the business. She is excited. She's like, really? I can come up with a marketing campaign and you'll let me do it? And I'm like, yeah. More power to you. I'm all about empowering people to do what they love. So we can all grow and benefit together through it. So that's exciting. I mean, I have some general ways I'm thinking about marketing myself, but I'm really interested to hear some of her ideas too. But to answer,
that's good. And sometimes what you need to have is that kind of fresh blood to take a look at that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And there's a lot of, you know, traditional ways of marketing. We've talked about in previous episodes because marketing is such a big part of business. What I would start is by going to forums and groups and things like that on social networking sites and things like that that share this demographic. Other role-playing game fan groups, for example. And just let them know or add a link or both. Do things like give exclusive coupons to particular groups. Like say there's a big RPG fan group somewhere online and you're like, hey guys, just for you, 10% off with this coupon. But shh, don't tell anyone else. Something like that, and gives them just that little extra incentive and makes them feel special that, hey, we're getting a special deal. Another way we'll be marketing is, again, once the game is ready and selling, is talking to other websites and companies that review products like this and do interviews with them and give them exclusive content. For example, like you can customize your characters by getting certain skills or powers or character defects or things like that that give you different bonuses and abilities and things like that. We can set it up so that the character creator app comes with them all by default. Well, the basic version will come with the basic set, and then when you buy the pro version, you'll get the added libraries that you just import into the file, into the application. And we can make individual ones, since the application has the ability to import new skills, for example. On one of these review sites, I do an interview or something and say, hey, just for your readers, just for people who go to your website, they can download this link and get an exclusive skill or an exclusive superpower, something like that, that they can use in this game that no one else will have access to. And the websites love that because they're like, hey, it's more reason for people to come to our site, so we'll get more traffic and more ad revenue. And it just makes it easier to give them incentive to review my product in the first place. So things like that would be a good starting point.
I think that's a very good thing. It should be pretty easy to help her learn some of those things. Plus, you have all the power of the internet to make it really easy.
Mm-hmm.
Good. As for myself, I actually was able to launch a new product called Black Tire Paint.
Black Tire Paint?
Yeah, I was amused by this product, and I was kind of hesitant in launching it, but this is one of those times where listening to your customers actually pays off for the very simple reason. I've had a couple customers say, hey, I'd like to have some black tire paint. And I thought, what do they need black tire paint for on black tires already? Well, finally, I had enough people say, I would like to have this. I said, fine. Who am I to say no? I'm going to say the customer knows what they're kind of doing, although I'm a little suspicious about the whole thing. And so I went and posted on the website, black tire paint. So now I'm waiting for someone to actually buy it, and then I can actually go ahead and put together the product and send it out. Because it doesn't take much to add a color. It's just a matter of having it on hand for people to actually need it. Then I have to go buy the paint, make the mix of it, and then send it out.
Why do you think they need black tire paint? Like maybe to paint over a previous thing or something?
I think what it is that some people want to have the ability to paint over white walls.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Normal people have black tire walls. They may want to just have white wall. So that's the best I can come up with. But I'm amused by it because black tire paint.
You see, you never know, but listen to your customers.
But one of the things that I did learn is that you just don't go with it off the top. You don't go as soon as a customer says, I want this. Because I've had a number of times where a customer says, I want this one color. But it'd be better if I had multiple requests. So I have had multiple requests for this, and so guess what? I'm doing what the customer wants.
And that's awesome.
Do you know what that means? That means I'm actually listening to customers. I've had enough customers request it. I'm gearing up that this is actually a thing that people want, so I'm actually implementing it. But this goes to the bigger point of what we talk about all the time, of just don't implement something because someone requested on the first iteration. Actually make a change over a period of time once you need to. And I'm sure you've had the same thing with your role-playing game, and this is where I'm going to tie it all back together, and that by having the role-playing game, you could have had everybody says, I don't think that the mage or knight or whatever is getting enough, is powerful enough in comparison to the mage, the knight, or the other guy. But instead of you just implementing changes every single time to go ahead and submit to their whim, you had to balance everything. So you had to figure out overall what you wanted to do.
Right. Right. And there's, you know, usually one or two players are like, well, I think it should be this way. And I listen to them and I consider it. And then I'm like, yeah, but you want it to be that way because then it overpowers your character and gives you an unfair advantage.
Right. You just want to win all the time.
So, yeah, and that's – but you know what? I've gotten a lot of great ideas that way. Some people are like, we should be able to do this. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. We should. And then I implement it in or I change a rule or something. So it's pretty awesome. So, oh, I forgot to mention another cool thing we're doing with this character creator app. We're putting in Easter eggs. So there's like little secrets, like if you do certain things or like type in a certain word at the right spot, it'll do something special for you, like unlock a secret power or something. So a little tip for our listeners, an exclusive for you guys for listening this whole time. Under your character's true identity, put my full name, and you'll get an exclusive skill not listed anywhere else in the game.
Huh. I don't know about that one, David.
What do you mean?
You should have it set as up, up, down, down, left, right, just so everybody knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, there is no up, down, left, right on this thing. It's you enter information about your character. So there's a line where it says, what's your true identity? And if your true identity happens to be the name of the guy who created the game, you get something special.
Oh. I think that's a not too bad idea.
And, yeah, there'll be different things like, yeah, well, you'll see. If you buy the pro version, it'll list all the Easter eggs.
Oh, so there's another incentive.
Yep.
Hey, it's incentive time.
Or at least it'll list most of the Easter eggs. I think a few of them, you know, will be secret way for people to find them, or I might save one or two for, like, those exclusive content for being reviewed on those other websites. Things like that.
You just want to have an extra one for yourself. I know it's up. Well, good. You've been listening to the Small Business Podcast with David Michaels and Daniel Miller. This week, we talked about what we're up to and funny things that are happening with our industry. So, if you'd like to go ahead and email us, you can do so by writing us at smallbusinesspodcast@gmail.com. You can become our fan by going to facebook.com and searching for
The Small Business Podcast.
Woo! It's an incredible thing if you ever think about it. If you'd like to go ahead and check out David's really cool, credible product, you can go to
SuperPowersUnlimited.com.
And if you'd like to buy some Ranger tire paint so you can paint the side of your white walls, or if you want to paint your white walls black, you can go to RangerPaint.com. Until next week, I'm Daniel.
And I'm David.
Have a good week.
And thanks for listening.